This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirau Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Whakatalofa atu to our Tuvalu listeners and welcome to everyone to Neat and Footy, the place where we chat all things Pacifica talent in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is a man who is tingling with excitement at the NRL beginning. Oh, beginning.
In the beginning.
In the beginning.
It is I.
It is in the beginning. In the anyway, Tinirau Arona T.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Kia ora, Sammy.
I stuffed that up, but anyway, all good.
Nah, it's all good. But you did say that I was excited, man. The NRL is back. You know, kia ora to you listening here on Neat and Footy. There were a few games that were played over the weekend, including the All-Stars game and the Charity Shield match between South Sydney Rabbitohs and the St. George Illawarra Dragons. So we'll touch on those two games in today's show. I can't wait to learn about your mat, the Tongan mat, which is called the...
The Dalvala.
The Dalvala.
It's the one, mate.
In our new segment, Culture Shock. But later on today's show, we have our first female Olympian joining us here on Neat and Footy, and her name is...
Go on, have a crack.
Alicia Lefau Fakoselea.
Fakoselea, close to it.
So she is a Samoan Tongan rugby sevens player who represents Australia in the sevens circuit.
Yeah, I can't wait to listen to her story. She's an absolute superstar on the Aussie sevens circuit at the moment. And she's got a crazy story as well about her mum being 4 months pregnant with her.
Yeah, my mum told me she was like 4 months in preseason, and then, yeah, she just found out when she was playing. Yeah. And now I'm living her dream.
Yeah, just that little bit from her, and obviously it's just meant to be. If you're playing footy and you're already in the womb, mate, makes sense that you become a superstar.
Moment of the week.
Yes, each week we like to start our show with the moment of the week, and there were a few moments last week, but I thought it would be a great time to announce that our show is that nice, we have to run it this week twice. So we are having our second show this Friday, and we have locked down two of the great athletes in our game, both
legends.
Rugby union and rugby league, Totai Kefu. Oh. And Sala Tongatuki, man, and they'll cover the rugby and league, rugby union and league with us two here on Neat and Footy on Fridays.
On Fridays, we listen to our listeners. We're flooded. My inbox is flooded saying, I want Wyxy and T on again throughout the week. We listened, we delivered. Every Friday, we're going to be previewing the Super Rugby rounds and the NRL rounds with two of the greats. Totai Kefu, former Wallaby legend, just finished up coaching with the Ikaletahi Tongan team and ready to go. And obviously Sala, she's killing it
Sala
with the West Tigers.
Sala Tongatuki with the West Tigers in the NRLW.
Hey, it's Payne Hussey from the Brisbane Broncos. You are listening to Neat and Footy.
Footy results and news. Sammy Rugby League has kicked off, and what an event to open up the Rugby League calendar. The All-Stars match on the weekend held up at Townsville. While watching the opening of the Indigenous and the Māori All-Stars, three words came to mind: culture, pride, and passion. The Māori started with a fierce haka. You know, you could see the fire and pride in the players' eyes. Then the Indigenous replied with a spine-tingling war cry, holding spears and boomerangs. The passion that these men have for their culture, you know, it was just a spectacular opening to a game. I can't remember seeing an opening like that ever in these all-star matches. So it was actually quite special to watch. Anything, before I head on to the four 20-minute quarters, was there anything that caught your eye?
Well, you said it beautifully there, T. It was a lot of passion. There was culture there. And the players from both the men's and the women's game really embraced it. And you could see and feel it when you watched them when they had those opening exchanges. And one of the big men that really stood out for me was probably Royce Hunt, the Sharkies, Tor Samoa prankster, the mechanic maybe as well, they might call him. But his carry off the kickoff, that was special. Like if that didn't set the tone or like especially his mindset of how he felt about that game, man, that was a pretty good start for the big man.
Yeah, he made a huge impact when he come off the field. But as I mentioned, 4 20-minute quarters where the two teams went toe-to-toe. The Indigenous team, though, they won this one 22-14. The Fox, Josh Adokar, he scored a double for the Indigenous, as well as Tor Samoa representative Hamiso Tabuai-Fido and Gold Coast Titan Alofiana Khan Pereira, both scoring tries for the Indigenous.
22 away from the goal line. Plays it for the Indigenous All-Stars who lead 10-8. Chip over the top by Trindle. Flying through beyond Iodo. Flying through is Tabuai-Fido. And ladies and gentlemen, it's hammer time. Hammerside Tabuai-Fido gets it down for the try after another Braden Trindle kick. What a chase by Tabuai-Fido.
Yes, the hammer I think is set for a huge year for the Dolphins this year. I also thought the two starting props for the Maldives, Joseph Tapine and Cook Islander Xavier Willison, both of them really stood up for the Maldives All-Stars. Tapine running for 127 metres and Xavier, you know, he's still a rookie, still young. He plays for the Brisbane Broncos. He ran for 73 metres, but both the props scoring the only tries for the Maldives.
Mooney a metre out, play to Devanga, crash over job and I think he's successful. And it's young Willison. Well, doesn't he love that? Xavier Willison. He's over to score the try, started the game, and there you go, the Mounties do score.
We also had the female All-Stars game that was played before the men's, and the Indigenous were just too strong for the Maldives. They won 26-4. Shelley Long, unfortunately, she can't be here, who covers the women's footy news, but we will catch her next week to speak about that game. On to the NRL preseason challenge. Some great games on display. Some teams fielding starting NRL players and getting some game time in their star players' legs. And other teams giving the opportunity for young rookies to play at that level while resting their NRL stars. And I believe, Sammy, that one player stood out for you over the weekend.
Yeah, for the Dragons, this is a funny one, actually. The Alec Duitavake. He's a young 22-year-old. He's coming back from his ACL injury. We're watching the game at home, and my sister-in-law's partner was handing out some cheesecake.
Oh, you've been eating cheesecake, haven't
you? Yeah, I had a little bit of cheesecake. What, well, can you notice?
Yeah. I like cheesecake.
Yeah,
like, remember us in Solomon Islands?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you did like a bit of cheesecake.
I just thought you would have brought some cheesecake into the studio, that's all.
Nah, there wasn't enough there. I smashed it because she makes a really good cheesecake. Anyway, when she's handed it out, she just looks over to the TV and goes, oh, there's my brother. Who's your brother? She goes, oh, Alec Duitavake. That's my younger brother. My whole family's down there watching the game in the box or something like that. I was like, you didn't want to go down? She goes, nah, not really. I just hope he goes well. I was like, sweet, you'd rather hand out cheesecake to our family
but
than go down there. But he played well when he came on.
He killed it. He was solid. He made a huge difference. I remember when he came on, just the leg speed. You know that youth where you can see some of the players? Yeah.
Do I know that?
He was one of the good reasons why I retired. And you see young guns like Alec coming through.
He's got that perfect build of that short, stocky, leg speed, powerful.
One to look out for the St. George Illawarra Dragons. But each year, the Dragons play the South Sydney Rabbitohs for the Charity Shield. Rabbitohs still ran away with this one, though, 28-6. The Dragons got over for one try, though, where the Fijian winger, Michaele Ravalawa, regathered a loose ball and ran over 40 metres untouched to score under the post. And the South Sydney Rabbitohs, they actually had a lot of their superstars rested. So Cody Walker, Latrell Mitchell, who played in the All-Stars match, Damian Cook, Jack Wyden, Campbell Graham. So they all rested. But it just goes to show the depth that the Rabbitohs had. You know, they really showed their depth. And moving on to the rest of this season, when these superstars are, you know, doing origin duties, you know, they have that depth to cover for these players.
Yeah, that you're not wrong. I didn't realise all those big names were out. Like when you put it like that, I thought South Sydney were really impressive, especially in attack. I feel like they're playing with a little bit more width. And one thing that's, you know, I'm no expert in league, but one thing I love to watch is like the basic skills executed well under pressure. I thought South Sydney did well with that in attack. You know, their ball movement across the width, playing out the back, and, yep, and their leg speed, their timing of departure. Like they weren't overrunning it. They weren't too flat. They were holding their feet. And as the ball was getting to them, early catch, they were running onto it nice. And you saw so many times they were able to get on the outside of the Dragons' defense. So I think there's really good signs when you think of who's going to be on the end.
On the end of it, yeah.
Of those plays. So
one thing that does get overlooked, though, was when the front rowers have to lay the platform.
Yeah.
And, you know, South Sydney Rabbitohs, when they, guys like Davey Mo'ali, they laid the platform to be able, for them outside backs to be able to shift that ball. And I thought Davey Mo'ali, Tongan Cook Islander, he was solid.
You know, nice, especially little try,
in that fourth,
eh?
In that third, fourth quarter. Yeah. He even had a nice little tip on there to put one of the other middles through a hole. But yeah, barged over for a nice four-pointer as well. A couple other games that were held over the weekend. Got to see RTS back in the Warriors jersey. The Warriors losing to the Tigers 18-16. And Dolphins, they got up. They beat the Titans 26-14. Dolphins putting out a pretty decent squad. And Titans got a lot of their rookies on the field. So a respectable score, 26-14. Seeing your cousin Isaiah Katoa also set up the first try for the Dolphins.
It's his birthday on the weekend as well. So what is he turn, 17 or something like that?
Still waiting for him to come on our show.
Still waiting for my jersey. Still waiting for my signed jersey.
Happy birthday. We'll see you next week on Monday. but coming up, which we'll touch on Friday, because we've got another show, eh?
Yes.
Panthers over in the UK, World Club Challenge. They'll be playing the Wigan Warriors. They lost last year to the St. Helens Saints, but the Panthers are there now. Seeing a few of the boys on social media at the EPL game, Man City, Isaac Tungo, he was a bit jet-lagged, sleeping up in the seats while the footy game was
on. At the game?
At the game.
Is it packed house?
A couple of the boys just having a bit of a laugh. But yeah, no, it's good to see the Panthers over there preparing well, and hopefully they get the job done, but we'll touch on that on Friday.
Beautiful. And just going back to RTS, he's obviously picked up from where he left off, but his defensive work, his low chop tackles, learned that from rugby union, put on some good shots out there.
He was so, doing that before.
Nah, he wasn't, union, mate. He learned that in union. So well done, RTS. Great to see that you got your tackle tech right.
I'm pretty sure he was Daly M. Fullback of the year.
Let's move over to rugby union.
Let's go then.
Let's rugby go. Rugby union. Rugby union. Hey, we spoke last week, a couple of weeks now, about the Rebels, the Melbourne Rebels. It's not looking great for them at the moment, being in the competition beyond this 2024 Super Rugby Pacific season. Like, it's, you know, now reported, you know, they're in a mess. Yes.
Is this round one?
This is round one, like kicks off this week, and then
going into round one.
We're going into round one. So they're going into a season, hasn't even kicked off yet, and there's a lot of noise around if they're going to be there or not beyond this year. So if we look at what they owe, so tax office payments, $11.6 million, payments to the board, $5.7 million, payment to suppliers, $2.8 million, unpaid stadium fees, $1.1 million. State revenue office, 720K. Employee superannuation, 250K. So they owe $22.07 million. And they've only got $17,300 in the bank.
How much?
$17,300 in the bank.
I'm
no mathematician, but
that's... I know. You get more than that in 1 week.
Oh, stop it. See?
Over 17 grand in the bank.
Mate, it's not looking good. And
what about the staff and the players? Are they still getting paid? Do we know that?
10 staff, including their CEO, Baden Stevenson, they've all lost their job. Effective immediately. Kevin Foote, their head coach, and the three other high-performance staff, 4-month contracts they've signed. Kevin Foote only signed a 2-year deal last year. So he's had to, accept a 4-month deal, not knowing where his future is going to be. And for the players, I guess for the players in the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement,
yep,
their salaries are guaranteed. So even if they fold and whatever, how long their contract duration is.
So the players will always be looked
after. They'll be looked after. But, T, when you've got that hanging over your head, do you think it's going to affect them when they play?
100%. They're losing all their staff members. And usually, it takes a lot more than just the players that go onto the field to win games. It takes a club, it takes a culture. And when the culture is walking out the door, and also your staff members, it's going to be a tough season for the Rebels.
Yeah, honestly, I really feel for the Melbourne Rebels because they've got some really good talent there. So if I think of someone like
Tongan Thor,
he's definitely down there. Like, they recruited him because obviously he's a special player and they feel like they were building a good roster. But they've also got like former Wallaby, he'll probably look to get in there this year. Lucan Salakaya Lotto. He's come out and said that, as players do, you want to look at the positive side of things. So he's saying now the future's in their hands.
He's saying it to the players.
So he's a player, big second rower, big Samoan fella. And
you have to say that.
You have to.
Yeah. These conversations have to be made, and those are the words that have to be said to players to make sure that they're still switched on during the season, because they still have to go out there and play 80 minutes of rugby.
It's a full season ahead of them. So guys like Lucan, Rob Leota, their captain, Samoan, big Samoan fellow as well, Sam Talakai, Tongan Heritage, Pone Fa'amausili, Daniela Tupou, Felipe Dangunu. Like, these are all Wallabies, all leaders within that team. They're going to be needed for this whole season, because there's already two players and probably more have already signed elsewhere, so they're going to have so much distraction off field. So it'd be interesting to see how that all unfolds for the Melbourne Rebels this season and how it affects them, because they're playing for their careers, their coaches are playing for their career as well, and we'll follow that closely to see what the result is of that. Yeah, but with the Rebels, with all that news, they were still able to. Their preseason form has been really, really good at the moment. So they got up over the Fijian Drua 26-21 in a close one down in Melbourne. For the Drua, remember when we spoke to Mick Byrne and I asked him about how you're going to get those away wins?
Yep.
So I guess their trial games, they're trying to put that into practice. They've all been away, and they've actually led early in both of those games. So the Rebels game, they were up 21-7 at halftime, and just lapse of concentration towards the back end of the game, they fell away and lose 26-21. We saw tries from hooker Tongi Atama, Wanga, the second rower. He's a young second rower. He's a player to watch for in the future. And flanker Kana Kaivata, they also scored. And our man, Isaiah Armstrong Ravula, 100% with the boot, 3 from 3.
These trials, are they similar to the NRL preseason challenge where a lot of the teams are fielding rookies, or they're all starting to prep for round one this coming weekend?
Yeah, it's a good question. There's a mix of both, but I guess for a lot of the Aussie teams, I've seen that I guess they're trying to build momentum into round one, so they're trying to get their combinations early, give them some game time, and make sure that they hit the ground running with some type of momentum. I know that when we've played in the past, sometimes we've won all three of our trial games and then we finished last in the season. So there's a bit of fool's gold there. But I think, the way our Australian Super Rugby teams are performing, I think that's what they're trying to do, is build momentum.
I only say that because I don't like to read too much into the preseason games, but the Highlanders here have beat the Crusaders 41-14. My hometown Otago Highlanders. Are they Otago Highlanders?
Yeah, they're still there. Guess who's coaching down there? My favourite coach.
Jamie Joseph.
Jamie Joseph's back down there. He's back down there. Your cousin Lima Sopoanga sent me an Instagram photo of Jamie Joseph hanging in the background with those dark eyes just peeling in on someone, and he's going, who's no good to me?
You are no good to me. 41-14. He is. Look at that.
So, but the Crusaders, mind you, they didn't field a strong team because they were over in Ireland playing over there in their preseason
games. Doesn't matter. You said it's about building momentum,
you
and that's what
contradicted
Uncle Jamie's
yourself.
Doing. Yeah. Well, I just wanted the Highlanders to build some momentum going into this weekend.
Well, that's a bit of like there were some other results in the rugby union, but like Hurricanes 59-26 over Moana Pacifica. It was good to see Julian Savia, the Samoan bus, crash over for a try. It looks like he'll play midfield. He'll play 12 instead of his usual position on the wing. So
for the Moana, yeah?
For Moana Pacifica, yep, on that.
Because he was the ex-Canes, that's why. It's just double check.
Yeah, that's double check. He'll be playing against his old team throughout the year, which will be good to see. The big bus, mate, hated trying to tackle that guy. I didn't get to tackle him. He just ran over me, but outstanding footballer. So, T, we, as you said, with Salah coming on, we have big
Tote Kefu
coming on Friday. So we don't need to go into too much more detail about rugby union because we finally have someone who knows what he's talking about on Friday, giving us the rundown of what's happening in Super Rugby week in, week out.
Well, usually we'll head over to the long story short with Shelley Long, but she is sick, as I mentioned earlier. So let's head over to the Culture Shock.
Culture Shock.
T, Culture Shock. We're back at it again. Last week, that was great from you. That was, or from me, but
let's touch on that.
Let's.
Because there was a few keyboard warriors out there.
Yeah.
A lot of them my family and friends.
Mate, I'm going to get into those keyboard warriors. But just for our listeners, just want to make sure they understand what Culture Shock is about. Obviously, we're here to learn something about the amazing cultures in the Pacific. And yeah, last week we had the Cook Island conch. Is that right?
Yes, the Pacific conch.
Oh, the Pacific conch.
So the conch is the shell that you blow. You might have heard it at the start of our show. That noise, yeah.
Why didn't you do that last year?
Yeah, I should have
just
done
that.
Don't
do it in the shell. Actually, do we have a grab of that? Can we have a listen? No, to be honest.
Just give me, keep giving it.
Oh my goodness. And you spoke about those keyboard warriors. Let's go. Anthony Jelling. We're going to drop the Cook Island flag to half mast today. Ella Rose, your beautiful wife. He practiced for so long the night before. Too. Got off like just with the laughing emojis. Jeff Daniela, the great Jeff Daniela. How embarrassing. Vincent Rennie, sounds like tea on the toilet. And Makahesi Makatoa, I just want to slap those lips. That was...
Yes, all good friends of mine, all family, even my wife there. Actually happy that we got to put smiles on your faces because that's what our show is about.
That's it, mate. Whatever makes our listeners smile and laugh, that's all we're here for, even if it is at your expense. But...
Actually, even Andrew Fafita shared that.
Did he?
Yeah, he shared that story. And if you want to see it, head over to Sammy Wyke's Instagram page.
Well, we could head over to your one when I collabed with you on Insta, but you didn't accept.
So, I did accept. And then I watched it. And then I seen the comments coming in. And I go, yeah, I'm out of here. And then
deleted it
off my feed.
Based on all that information that we had last week and our attempt so far, I just thought, I didn't want to bar of that. I didn't want to receive any hate comments from my Tongan community because I feel like they would roast me. They would absolutely roast me, like the Cook Island community did to you. So I thought I'd think outside the box here and go get some expert help. We are going to cross over to the beautiful Kingdom of Tonga right now. And get
wow,
yeah,
you're good, mate. Work smarter, not
harder.
Hey,
that's the one.
So, you are great.
Yeah, I thought I'd cross over to a good family friend of mine, Anasani Ulakai. She is going to explain the Talvala for us, which is the Tongan mat that's worn around your waist on special occasions for both, you know, the men and women. I'm not sure if you saw Tongan NFL 49ers player Talanoa Hufanga. He rocked up to the Super Bowl wearing one on his entrance in. So very traditional. So I thought I would get Anasani to go into a little bit of detail on what it means, what it's about, and I'll see if I can wrap it around you. Let's get her on the line. Yes, T, we have that special guest. I told you we're going to cross over to the beautiful kingdom. Anasani is on the line now. Anasani, thank you so much for joining us and saving this segment, Culture Shock. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, for those who don't know Anasani, probably a lot of them don't, but she's got ties to...
The kingdom?
The kingdom, like the royal family. So she serves to the Princess Latui Fui Peka Tuku Aho. She serves with her on some of her trips. Also, when she's not in Tonga, she comes over here and represents the United Nations and some Commonwealth youth things, also with the Australian Museum on enhancing cultural knowledge and protocols for Tongan Koloa. So very knowledgeable on what we're about to talk about. So we're going to talk about the Taovala. Anasani, can you let our listeners know what the Taovala is, just to start with?
First of all, thank you for having me on your show. And second of all, I'd like to acknowledge that we do have traditional knowledge holders, especially Your Royal Highness, whose advocacy is at the core of preserving traditional knowledge. I'd like to acknowledge them first, as they are my mentors. But my knowledge of the Taovala, specifically the term Taovala, it finds its roots in the meticulous craft of creating this timeless and revered outerwear. So therefore, the word Tao originates from the word Tatao, which means to layer or place underneath for flattening, while Vala refers to a piece of clothing. So a Taovala, in essence, is the waist mat that you see Tongans wear on various occasions. And it is worn to show reverence and propriety, and in some cases denoting rank. So Taovala is the hallmark of Tongan identity, setting us apart from other Pacific cultures.
What is it made from?
So the Taovala, like any woven mat in Tonga, you'll have a choice of leaves, namely the Baongo, which is brown in colour, and there's the Tofua, which is light brown, and then we have the Kie, which is white, and the Bahina, which are like white stripes. So depending on the kind of Taovala that is being requested, the weaver would pick the leaves accordingly. Now, how would you know what Taovala you would like? Well, that will have to depend on the occasion that the Taovala is worn for.
So why did they start wearing it? Like, where did it come from and why they started to wear it?
So the Tongan Taovala originated from back in the ancient Tuitonga dynasty era. And the Tuitonga dynasty were revered as the divine figures. So in those ancient times, it was said that it was a Inasi ceremony where Tongans offer the first fruits to the Tuitonga. There were seafarers from the northerly islands of Ha'apai coming to present their catch to the Tuitonga. And because during those times, our attire consisted of humble leaves, so they needed something to wear and to present themselves with to the Tuitonga that was adequate. So the leader of the seafarers, Tuita, ordered this galia sail to be brought down and to be cut into pieces so that these seafarers would wear as they present themselves to the Tuitonga. So this makeshift apparel caught the Tuitonga's eye, leading to the formal adoption of the Taovala as a symbol of reverence. So since then, we Tongans were expected to wear a Taovala when we present ourselves to royalty. And occasions that you would wear a Taovala to, other than the presence of the king, well, in Tonga, the Taovala is like an everyday essential for Tongans, especially those working in government ministries. So a business casual dress code in Tonga would translate to a tupenu, which is like the lava lava skirt-like thing that men wear, and an everyday Taovala, usually what we call here in Tonga alokeha, that's yellowish. So that's the casual Taovala that men would wear every day here in Tonga. So Taovala can be worn to work and to school because it's part of the school uniforms here in Tonga, and birthdays, graduation, weddings, funerals, and so forth.
I haven't heard this in the household from my mother-in-law or even my own mum, my wife. So I'm going to attempt to put it around tea. Can you help me, like with instructions on what I need to do?
Yes. So because tea is male, or tangata in Tongan, you must ensure that the lapping is towards the right. So meaning you tuck the right end of the ta'ovala first, and then you leave the left side towards tea's right elbow.
Oh, this will be interesting because Sammy doesn't know his left and right.
And I've also got to tie it up, the gaffer. All right, this is going to be my attempt to follow your instructions, which I don't do well. Okay, so what am I? So I've got it here. What do I? How do I start this first?
Yep. So if T can face the other way, so you bring it from the front.
Oh, I've got to bring it from the front
to the back. Yeah, and then you stand at the back, Sam.
Oh, jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you tuck the right side of the ta'avala first. So
as
tuck
in,
it in.
Like that?
The right.
Oh, just sorry, the right. Oh, the right. Goodness, already stuffed it.
Yeah. And then bring the left towards T's right.
Right elbow, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then you sort of move it to the back. Yes, yes.
Ah, okay, there we go.
The protocol is you must ensure that it's all behind the person's arm, so you don't want anything showing. To the front.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, yep.
And then the gaffa again from the front to the back.
Oh, do it. Okay, yep.
Yep. And then you take both ends to the front again and hand them to T.
I'm really struggling, T.
Yeah.
You may as well do it yourself. You're doing a better job.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then T, you can adjust it to how tight you want it to.
Yep.
Oh, is that tight enough?
That's good.
And do I just tuck it in?
Do the tie a knot or tuck it?
Yeah, you can tie a knot just to make sure that it doesn't fall off.
I don't know how to tie a knot. There we go. How do I do here?
Perfect.
Perfect. And this is a key one too. Over here, make sure the flap's nice so you can put your phone and keys in there.
Beauty.
Yes.
So what type of ta'ovala is this?
I just grabbed it from under the stairs at home. So I'm not too... I just found it there. This one here, Anasini, would this be something that you'd wear at a funeral or a wedding?
Yeah, well, actually at a funeral. And... your only permit to wearing that to a funeral is that if you're descended from the Fahu's line. So I think T should feel special that he's wearing a ta'ovala fit for a Fahu.
Oh, I'm very honoured. I already feel the mana in this. Thank you, Sammy.
No, that's good. Well, that's our culture shock for this week with the ta'ovala. I didn't want to bring in the ngatu because obviously it's way too big. I couldn't carry that on the train. Like it weighs a ton. Anasini, Maloa Pito, I really appreciate you saving me on this on our culture shock segment. So thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me again.
Thank you.
All right, when are you back in Oz?
Maybe in a month or two.
All right. I owe you a feed, all right? So when you come down, I'll take you out for a feed.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, Maloa. Right. I'll talk to you soon. Cheers.
This is Nation Footy.
Great work, Sammy, getting Anasini Ulukai straight from Tonga.
Straight from the kingdom, yep.
To explain the ta'ovala.
Ta'ovala, yeah, nice too.
So next
you sure you're not Tongan?
Nah, definitely not. Rarotongan.
Same.
Next week, what do you got for me?
But I think one of the other traditions that we see a lot is kava. I reckon if we can get a bit of a rundown on...
Ooh, yep, the kava bowl.
The kava bowl, whether you do it from a Fijian or a Tongan or a Samoan, but I'll let you decide how you want to bring that information to Culture Shock next week.
Did you want me to bring some in?
Do you know there's a ready-made mix one? That like almost like Milo, so you don't actually have to do the...
Well, so you just pour it in water and mix it?
Yeah, mix it like that. There is that one, instant kava, but we're good.
Seeing as you know where to get it, you bring it in.
Bonjour, je m'appelle John Olivier, et vous écoutez Nation Footy.
And now in English.
Hi, my name is John Olivier, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Joining us on Nation Footy this week is Aussie Sevens, Tongan Samoan superstar, Alicia Leafau Fakaosi Lea.
She's absolutely killing it on the seven circuit so far. So, Alicia, thank you so much for the time. I know you're busy training. You've just got off the field, but thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You're only 23 years of age, and you made your debut for the Wallaroos in 2019. And then from there, you were obviously made Rookie of the Year for the Wallaroos. You've crossed over to sevens in 2021. You've won a World Cup, a gold medal at the Com Games. You've been to the Olympics. Do you ever sit back and think, wow, I've achieved so much in so little time?
Yeah, I don't really think about it that much, but it's amazing to like think about like how much I've done. But I guess I don't really just don't think about it, but it's just amazing.
Well, how much of that do you credit to your Tongan side over your Samoan side?
No.
I'm joking. You don't have to.
Next question for Mom and Dad wasn't
that. Speaking of your Tongan and Samoan side, do you know what villages you're from?
So from my Nana's side, I think it's Falilakai, and then my Papa's side, Alipaka, and then Dad is, yeah.
Oh, you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, I know.
Tonga, here we go.
Oh, no. No, I grew up more on my Samoan side than my Tongan, but still proud to represent both.
Yeah. Beautifully. Well said. Well said. Well, we will take it, I guess, right back then. We also, is it true, footy's in your blood, rugby's in your blood. There's a lot of talent there. You're the niece of Big Will Skelton. But when I say when it's in your blood and where it started from, is it true your mum was pregnant playing representative for Auckland in a game of rugby?
Yeah, my mum told me she was like 4 months in pre-season. And then, yeah, she just found out when she was playing. Yeah, and now I'm living her dream.
That's amazing, eh?
It's meant to be.
You're born and now you're a star on the field. So what inspired you to play, rugby?
I don't know. I think I just got into it because of the contact. I used to play netball before this and there's too much contact in the netball. So growing up, I really enjoyed the contact. And then my family really encouraged me to play. And then, I just loved the game from then.
So some of our female guests that we've had before, they talked about the stigma and some of the resistance they had playing a contact sport. It seems like, your mum played and you've had that family support for a while now. But was that ever an issue with you choosing, rugby union as a pathway for a career?
No, my family were 100% support me. But when my mum was growing up, it was a different story. My mum was like hiding the fact that she was like playing rugby and that. So I think my mum's like encouraging me, supporting me. There was like times where I wanted to quit, but my mum, my dad like encouraged me to play the sport, keep going. And yeah, that's where it got me to where I am today. My nana sometimes she's just like, oh, watch out, like make sure you tackle properly and stuff. But my nana's really supportive with me. Unlike before when my mum was obviously playing back then.
We've seen you had a huge fan base at the Sevens. Can you talk to us a little about that?
My parents actually surprised me back in Perth. I thought I had no family coming to watch me. So when I came downstairs, my parents surprised me. They booked the flights the night before, so they weren't going to come. But it was good to have them there. We call this thing our bubble with our skills, and they're part of my bubble. So it was after every game, just like seeing them help me through it, like they've helped me through my whole career. So it was good to have them there in the crowd.
That's cool. So is that the theme of what you've created there with the Aussie Sevens things, the bubble? So whoever's in that bubble, that's who we look out for, and that's who we play for. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's our bubble. So family, our team, just so like the outside don't come in, so we're focused. Yeah.
Is that because you guys spend so much time together during the circuit, so it's making sure that you don't have any outside noise coming into them bubbles? Can you share a little bit about the Sevens circuit and what that experience is like for a young Pacific Islander woman?
Yeah, it's actually amazing getting to run out and see like a lot of people supporting us. And obviously I play for Australia, but it's amazing to see me represent my culture, both Samoa and Tonga too. It's an amazing experience.
You speak about, you know, playing in front of those big crowds. You're traveling to different parts of the world and you're experiencing different life. How has that helped with your growth and development, being a, you know, I guess a young Samoan Tongan girl growing up, moving from New Zealand to then Logan, and I've been to Logan. I'm assuming it's a little bit different to Paris and those type of places, but what's that been like for yourself?
It's been a great experience. You have like the likes of Charlotte Keslick, Shani Williams to learn off, and then with the girls coming through too, you just learn a lot. And I think going overseas, I start to like realize how grateful, how amazing I have it. Sometimes I think, oh, is this a dream? But like, yeah, it's amazing to think that I go to all these places, and I didn't really think I'd be going to these kind of places. Coming from Otara to Logan and then being here now, it's pretty amazing.
That sounds fun. We were sent an Instagram post and I clicked it and I'll go, I remember watching this as soon as you posted or someone posted it of you squatting. What was it, 180 kilos?
180. 180 kilos.
And I was like, how the hell did you build that strength? Like, is that something that you grew up doing, lifting weights or getting strong with, like, from your family? How did that come about?
I think that's just from my Tongan Samoan side, eh?
Or just say Samoan.
Yeah, from the Tongan side. Yeah. There's a perception out there, well, it's probably breaking now, but when we were coming through that, a lot of Pacific Islanders were unfit. You know, didn't want to do the hard work. Very talented, but unfit. You cannot hide in the game of sevens. So what have you done behind the scenes, away from the training field, that allowed you to build that base and I guess break that narrative that Pacific Islanders aren't fit?
So when I first started in the program, I was pretty lazy, but TC actually helped me through it. There was a lot of belief in me. So I guess my mindset changed quickly from last Olympics till now. I think I just clicked like, oh, got to start eating right. And I have that mentality of having my family behind me too.
Did you ever find it challenging doing those things when you're at home, you know, having to do something different to your family, you know, eating different foods or going for extra runs in the morning? Did you ever find that challenging at times?
Yeah, it was challenging because my family would eat KFC and I'd be just staring at them, pizza. No, but my family really helped me through it. My mom would be like, oh, we got you steak, but we're having pizza. And then with the running, my mom, she gets really annoying. She's like, are you going for a run? Are you going for a run? TC actually gave us GPS, so now he tracks us how we run every day. But no, it really helped me leading up to where I am today.
Do you have a dog at home?
Oh, no.
I was going to say, in the holiday programs, when he gives you the GPS, you just chuck it on your dog and let the dog run.
Actually, there was a time where I was in the car and I forgot to turn it off. It was like, oh, my gosh, you got a PB. And I was like, I just didn't tell him after that. But no one in this team really judges you on how you eat and all. I think TC actually tells me to go and eat KFC, but...
no, he doesn't. That's it, really?
He actually does. He's changed a lot. But, like, he only says that just to make us feel comfortable because, obviously, we're in the best shape. So he's like, oh, you need more carbs. Too much carbs. It's going straight to my legs, but...
When you're lifting 180 kilos, you can eat whatever you want, okay?
Very true.
That was a half squat, so.
No, don't listen to the comments.
Streaming
those
you
comments.
You said it.
You're streaming those comments. You put 180 kilos on your back and see how funny.
That wasn't even a box squat, too. That was very impressive. Do you feel like you're in a position now, you're now an inspiration for younger Pacific Islander women that are wanting to play rugby sevens as well?
I really hope I am, but I try to present myself on the field to show the Pacific Islander girls that you can do it. I'm a very thick Islander girl, so playing sevens, I don't hide that I am big. So I hope that it shows shows other girls that no matter what shape or size, you can do it. When I first started, I was a lazy trainer, but I don't want to sound cocky, but it shows now that hard work does show. So I'm hoping that girls do look up to me and the other girls too, our Pacific Islander girls, that you can do it and to never give up.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, I think that's what I was getting at before. It's just around that leadership of you're breaking the narrative around food, around your training schedule, because you're right, we have a lot of family members who are younger coming through who don't look up to their older cousins like they probably should, but they look up to girls like yourself now, and when they see you doing your thing out there, scoring tries, winning Rookie of the Year, being amongst the best, it does inspire. So you're absolutely right on that. Let's go back to your Samoan culture or Tongan culture, Pacific culture. When I say that, Samoan culture, what does that mean to you to be able to be a proud Pacifica woman?
Oh, it means a lot. My grandparents actually moved over to New Zealand to live us a life. And for that, I want to represent my culture and show them that I am representing them on the field, even though I'm playing for Australia. And my Tongan side, obviously. I actually have my name on my wrist, so it really reminds me that I am a Pacifica Islander girl. So playing in a top level, you know, inspires younger girls.
That's the best. Great answer.
Love it.
Have you gone home lately, like to the motherland, Samoa or Tonga?
No, I haven't. Hope I can. Oh, hope I can soon when we have a break.
What's it like when you do go back to New Zealand? You know, do your family, do they all show love?
Yeah. My family do show love a lot, actually. But I'm the guest, but tell me why my nana's taking all my money. My nana, she's like, I'm the guest, but I'm paying for all the dinners. but it's good to give back to them, to my nana and my family, because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for any of them. So, yeah, really grateful to have them.
And last question for me. Do you take a bag full of clothes as well, so or your training kit?
Oh, man. I, like, send it over, my little cousins, my siblings. I think some have ended up back in Samoa too. So I guess if I go back to Samoa, I'll have to pack a massive luggage.
I actually have a
cousin in that place for Samoa, so I gave him a few gears to take over. But yeah.
Oh, he played in the same at Perth in the Sevens tournament.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Far 40. He plays for Samoa. Nice.
Well, speaking of, you know, Samoan and Tonga side, I just want a hypothetical question here, and remember your answer does go out to the rest of the Pacific, especially Tonga and Samoa. If you're walking to a function room, or a function, and then on the left side there's a Tongan feed on the right side there's a Samoan feed, which way, and you can only choose one, which way are you going and why?
I'm walking back out the door.
Oh, you're not going to choose.
That's the answer.
Too hard.
I can't choose.
You can't choose.
No, because my parents would probably be watching this.
Look, honestly, from both of us, you know, we really appreciate your time. We don't want to take up any more of it because we know you've got to get back out and prepare. And obviously a big year with the Olympics. But from all of us at Nijin Footy, we just want to thank you so much. And we can't wait to see you rip it up more, and all the best.
Yes, Whapatai lover.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
No
worries. It's Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona. Nijin Knowledge.
Yes, Sammy, it's our favourite time, and I cannot believe it. You are up 2.5 to my 1 point here on Nijin Knowledge, where I will be asking you three questions, one from the past, one from the present, and one out-the-box question.
I found our tattooist as well, just to let you know.
A good one? Is it cheap?
My sister-in-law. Very good.
How much does she charge?
It's my sister-in-law.
We put on the invoice. Anyway, Nijin Knowledge, let's go. I need to catch up. First question. In the very first NRL Rugby League All-Stars match, the NRL All-Stars had 5 Nijin players. They still lost to the Indigenous All-Stars 16-12. Are you with me? You still here?
Hang on. So are we talking about the Māori team?
The All-Stars match.
Yeah, okay.
The first All-Stars match.
Very first, as in we're going back to what year?
Well, that was my question. What year did the first All-Stars match take place?
Oh, I've just got vivid memories of Big Dill scoring in the corner. He's doing the didgeridoo dance with and then Johnny Thurston.
Was that the first one?
I think it was because it had to be Sailors last year. When they won the 2010.
Final answer?
Yeah, I've got to go with that.
2010's correct.
Yes!
Well done.
Yes. Yes.
That was great. That's that was when the public had to pick the All-Stars teams.
Oh, really?
And it wasn't the Maldives. It was the NRL All-Stars. We had five Nijan players, Jared Hayne, Israel Folau, Michael Jennings, Manu Vatsavai, and Anthony Dubol playing for the All-Stars. Great work, 2010.
Yeah, because the Dragons won the grand final that year. That's why I was thinking of Wendell Saylor. It's his final year.
All right, my second question. Damn it.
You're good, bro? You're good? Ooh, he's burning.
It's going to be a long year. It's all right. Second question.
Daimoni Inc., get ready to tattoo my mate here.
All right. During the Indigenous war cry at the All-Stars match on Friday in Townsville, there was actually a really cool moment where Samoan international Hamiso Tabuai-Fido and which other player performed a Torres Strait Islander dance in front of the Māori All-Stars. I wanted to mention it earlier during the when I was talking about the All-Stars game, but I wanted to save this little moment here for this question. It was actually a really cool, spine-tingling, special moment where Hamiso and his teammate went in front of the Indigenous All-Stars.
After the game?
No, during the war cry.
Oh, during the war cry.
And they done, it was like I asked the boys over at Nija Daily, and he said it was, Jacob said it was like a shark dance where they're wearing a mask and they done a Torres Strait Islander dance, which was really, yeah, it was
special. That's his totem, the shark. Ah, that's a good one. Who else is Torres Strait in there? I'm just going to throw out a name and just go Dane Gagai.
Dane Gagai? Was actually playing for the Maldives. You're wrong. It was Bailey Biondi Otto.
He plays for the. No way I would have got that.
He plays for the Canterbury Bulldogs, halfback, 5'8" hooker, and those two with other tribal warriors performed in front of the Maldives.
Oh, that's cool. I wish I watched it live.
Dane
Gagai did play for the Indigenous All-Stars before.
Yeah, he's represented both. But
sweat, perfect.
He did have a moment during the
still thinking about Māori 2010.
Haka, the haka where he stood up and he had his own individual piece. Oh. So, wrong team. My last question. You've got one. That's all right.
That's all right. That's all I care
about. You have one. And my last one is a spelling test.
Oh,
have you ever been to Italy?
Actually, haven't.
So there is a town, a city in the north of Italy called Bologna.
What'd you call me?
Spell Bologna.
Bologna. What's this got to do with Nijan knowledge?
Out the box.
Yeah, out the box, still referencing Nijan knowledge.
No, mate. Spell Bologna.
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 Bologna. Bologna. Bologna. Bologna.
B-E-L.
O-N.
O-N.
I-A.
I-A.
Bologna.
Bologna. Wrong.
How do you spell it?
And let's run the exit music. You spell it B-O-L-O-G-N-A, like bolognese.
Oh, is that where bolognese come from, the origin of it?
Italy, yes.
Well, T, what's the score?
3.5 plays one.
Yes, that's what a buffer. And that's our time up. We're going to end it on that note. Remember, you can listen anytime to previous episodes or chats with some of your favourite Pacific athletes wherever you get your podcasts.
See you on Friday. Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.